Come on, then.
Knights and knaves, from Camelot to Concord.
All right, we'll call it a draw.
Welcome to the Warriors Roundtable, delivered by DoorDash, your door to all things basketball.
On the right wing, in and out dribble, between the legs, offer step, wide open, left wing, three, Gucci!
Behold, King Kevin Danner.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, I'm very nice.
And the Saint, Gary St. Jean.
What up, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Warriors Roundtable Show, delivered by DoorDash, your door to all things basketball. Kevin Dana, Gary St. Jean remind you that the Warriors 2025-26 season is presented by Kaiser Permanente. You want to join the conversation about Warriors shooty hoop? Hit us up, 888-957-9570. And before we get into Warriors basketball, Saint, do you have Suns Thunder on right now in the background?
Yes, I do. Holy moly.
I mean, wow.
I just looked up, it's 80-58, or maybe it's worse.
It's 86-52 now. Wow. You can guess which team's on top. I mean, they're about to become the third team in NBA history to start 24-1. Of course, 10 years ago, the Warriors did just that, and the 69-70 Knicks the other one. But we are here to talk about the current Golden State Warriors and Saint, a huge finish to this road trip.
Yeah,
for the Warriors. I mean, this thing could have gotten off the rails a little bit. Draymond hurts his foot in Philly. They're down 16 at the time. They get down 24 in that game at one point. They can't score in the first quarter of either of the games in Philadelphia or Cleveland. Steph obviously isn't playing. Jimmy Butler's not playing the first two games of this road trip. And somehow, they very nearly could have gone 3-0, and they did, in fact, go 2-1. So while it is still game 23, 24, 25, this three-game road trip, it does feel like this was a pretty stabilizing road trip, if you will.
You know, as a coaching staff, you're pregame sitting in the coach's room, and you're saying, wow, you know, we don't have Steph, we don't have Draymond, Butler comes back, but you really feel like you got a lot of key pieces out. Those are the games you kind of circle up the wagons and get ready to fire your arrows. And I'm old school. I just loved how hard and competitive these guys played. And yeah. I didn't care who scored. I loved the guys going on the floor. I loved the extra pass. I loved the defensive intensity on the ball, the rebounding. They just they played winning basketball, and that's uplifting for your locker room. I'm sure Draymond was really excited. Hopefully his foot's going to be okay, and Steph's going to be fine with his quad. I hope Jimmy's back is going to be fine, and I can go on and on here. But what opportunities, Kev, were presented for Pat Spencer and the rest of his MASH unit?
Yeah, let's get into Pat Spencer. His last four games, Saint, these are his stats. 16 points per game, 4 rebounds, 5.8 assists, 1 steal, shooting 59% from the field, 6 of 8 from deep, that's 75%, and 6 of 6 from the foul line. And it's not just the numbers that he's putting up, Gary. It's when he's producing these numbers. Those huge fourth quarters in all of those games against Cleveland, Philadelphia, and OKC, and they didn't need a big fourth quarter for him necessarily. That was what Jimmy Butler was able to do against Chicago early in that quarter before it turned into a laugher.
Well, when you look at this guy, you know, you hear all the accolades about the lacrosse, and I saw some pictures this week or a little video of him on the pitch, and he was he was the floor leader out there, and he did it in the Warriors games. And supreme confidence, knew exactly where to go. He was reading the defense. You know, a guard gets into the paint. He's got to take a quick picture, and he's got to see if he can get to the rim. And if that's shut down, does he have a floater or a mid-range? And are they cheating in off the corners? Is he going to pitch out for a three? Or has he played pick and roll, and he's got a guy at the rim? So there are a lot of things to consider, and he sure did a tremendous job. I haven't met anybody in the last week that just doesn't want to talk about him. It's so happy for the guy, and I go all the way back to you and I sitting there at the Summer League. And I said to you, who the heck is this guy? And you said, oh, you're going to like him. You're going to like him. And you've been right on all these guys. And this guy here's put the front office in a very, very positive dilemma. They've got to figure out how to get him a contract. That means probably somebody's going to have to get cut. I'm not as up as I used to be on the cap situation with the I wear an apron when I help MJ in the kitchen. That's about the only thing I know about aprons nowadays. And so this is going to be interesting what they're going to have to do, but the guy sure has earned it.
Do you guys have a second apron in your kitchen, or are you able to stay under the second apron?
We have many aprons. Yes, okay. We have many.
Okay.
Like if I'm cooking on the grill or if I'm doing dishes. And I made a strong statement over Thanksgiving. I had dishpan hands for like 3 days. Well, you can't put the wine glasses in the dishwasher. You have to hand wash those. And you can't put my grandmother's china in the dishwasher. We have to hand wash those. And then you got to do the pots. The only good thing that happened to me was I got to see Elmo and Big Bird and the guys in the parade early in the morning on Thanksgiving.
Sounds like you had a lot of cleaning to do, Saint.
Oh.
But let's touch on what you're talking about, a roster dilemma. He's on a two-way contract. That means he can only be active for 50 games. So yeah, he's got another 20-plus of being available. And then he either has to spend the rest of the year in the G League, spend the rest of the year inactive, or they have to make a two-for-one trade, or someone needs to get cut. And none of those options are very attractive because you don't want to cut someone on your roster. We can get into all sorts of trade machinations. I'm sure you've seen some on ESPN with a certain somebody potentially becoming available. But here's the bottom line. Pat Spencer is a full roster NBA caliber player. He is a real deal rotation player in the NBA. I don't think anybody can deny that now.
Well, in a perfect world, they're going to try to make a trade and maybe do a two-for-one, and then they'd free up a spot. That's their dream scenario. But if they can't get to that, this is going to be hard because I'm going to use the word inconsistency when I'm talking about all these young players. I'm not faulting anybody's effort, but their abilities to night in and night out, give me X amount of points, X amount of rebounds, defend, and then show me that you know what we're doing on both ends of the floor. That just hasn't jumped out at me. And, you know, who am I talking about? I'm talking about Podzimski. I'm talking about Richard. I'm talking about Moody and Kuminga. And help me if I missed any. Those would be the key guys. I think Post, to me, has made significant improvement. I thought last year he was pretty shallow defensively. And he's got a willingness to put his nose in there. He's a little better with that. And I think he understands what's going on. So I think Al Horford and Draymond have really helped him. But for the rest of the guys, it's an 82-game season. You had a couple good wins. You got a really tough game Friday. You and I are going to talk about the West. We're only in December and I'm crazy. I got my list.
There it is right there for those of you watching.
I'm ready and I'm nuts cause I do it every week and I like doing it though. And, maybe somebody's down about an individual or individuals, plural, or what's going on with the team. It's still Kev, what are we at the quarter pole? Just about.
We're almost a third game of the way through the regular season. 25 out of 82 done for Golden State. That's just north of 30%.
I think the teams that are Warriors are stayed below them. Maybe one team. Beyond's above them. And what happens if they have a key injury? You know, so you just don't know. And that's why you just got to take care of your own business.
Exactly. I'm curious, what do you have on that sheet for this week?
Well, this is a big statement. the Thunder are okay. Number one.
Breaking news.
Kev, don't they amaze you?
Oh, I
look at them 93-58, and I look at them, and on paper, I don't think they're as good as the Warriors were when they had the great team. But yet this team makes me believe that maybe they're going to do this. It's amazing. Their depth, I guess, is the big thing with me. And then after that, I'm really enamored by Houston and their style of play. And I think Durant is very comfortable. Will it bite him in the back if they keep playing without a point guard? You know, can they keep doing this by committee? Denver's got a few injuries with Braun and Gordon, but I sure like their team. And then San Antonio's blowing me away. They really are. To be what, Kev, 8-3 when Wemby's been out?
Without Wemby.
Yeah, that's and he's coming and not coming back tonight against the Lakers, which I'm pleased with. But when you look at Castle and Harper and Fox, and then you got Wemby, and who am I missing? I call him the Senator, Harrison Barnes. I think he could run for
Harrison
office,
Barnes,
but maybe nobody
Devin
in the right
Vassell,
mind
Kelton
would run
Johnson.
For office nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah.
But those are the teams and the Lakers. And and Minnesota, that's the six. And Minnesota, we can get into a big debate. Are they going to get this done at the point position? They got to be searching out there to find a guy because they've been playing Conley off the bench. They've been starting DiVincenzo. And they had 1-5 in a row before they got beat the other night. But that's an interesting challenge for that team. So I still think there's plenty of ways to go to get up in this top six. I think the Warriors conceivably can do it. We got to get health from the old guys, and we got to get good play from the young guys.
Yeah, that's for sure. And quickly, I'm just curious, when you say you think OKC can do it, do you mean win the title again or go 74-8?
Both.
It's at the new regular season win record. Okay, both.
How about you?
I think they're very capable. I mean, I think this team could definitely go 74-8. Their schedule gets a lot tougher, but I think because they're going to play more like national TV games at the back end of the schedule when kind of after the NFL season, if I remember correctly, that's like what they do with the Lakers every year. So they're in more primetime spots. But I mean, I don't know who wants to go up against this team. Like they just have been emboldened by what they did last year, and it is so fun to watch. I love watching the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, beautiful.
Tis the season for buckets. Give the ultimate gift this year, a holiday hoops mini plan. Visit warriors.com or call 888-GSW-HOOP to purchase now. Take a break. When we come back, talking a little bit about Jimmy Butler's return and more roster going-ons in the NBA, and I mean with Golden State in particular. Taking your calls as well, 888-957-9570, right here on 95.7 The Game.
We've tended to our wounds.
Just a flesh wound.
Look, stop that!
Chicken!
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
Now back to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Don't miss another chance to catch the Dubs at home. The Warriors take on the Minnesota Timberwolves at Chase Center Friday, December 12th, presented by Waymo. Get your tickets now at warriors.com or call 888-GSW-HOOP. Representatives standing by. The Thunder's lead only 41 points now against the Phoenix Suns in that NBA Cup quarterfinal. Kevin Dana, Gary St. Jean here, rocking with you until 7 p.m., taking your calls 888-957-9570. Some other news from the road trip. Jimmy Butler returning in style in Chicago. Of course, that's where he started his NBA career. 19 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. He got injured in the second half of the Oklahoma City game, so he missed the first two games of the road trip with a left knee injury, but absolutely stabilized the Chicago game in the fourth quarter. The Warriors got up big, 20-plus. The Bulls cut it to 8, and then he hit 2 huge threes to really help settle things down the fourth. And I know Jimmy's not known as a three-point shooter, but he's shooting like 44% from three this year. I mean, that has really been a nice value add to Golden State this season. And he just looked like his old self even coming off injury.
Don't you think in the other locker room they say, Jimmy, you know, just a great defender, toughness, a reluctant three-point shooter. I don't think he wants
That's the
to
word.
I do think he'll shoot him in the fourth quarter if need be. But I think during the course of the game, if he has a good one and the guy next to him has a great look, he's going to pass the ball. Now, something I took from the road trip with him I found interesting. When he fell or falls, he said he does not like to break his fall with his hands. He's worried about breaking a hand or a wrist. I found it interesting because he said he's got a good cushion on his gluteus maximus and minimus, which is your bum back there. And he said, I can fall on that. It gets bruised up, but I can bounce back. It's like a good pillow.
I like that quote. That is a great quote. You know who knows how to like fall well football players? And you kind of tell it. Drew Schiller, my Santa Cruz Warriors broadcast partner, would always point this out because he was a great high school football player. Actually, he had a chance to play for Jim Harbaugh at Stanford, but he elected to play basketball. A little known fact about Drew. I'm not sure if he actually wanted that out there, but now people know. But anyways, like he would know like, if a guy played football who is a professional basketball player just by looking at the way they fall, because they know how to keep their head off the ground
really?
And all that kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. So when you mentioned about the way Jimmy Butler falls, I don't know if he played football in his past or anything, but that's kind of the first thing that I think about. Saint, you mentioned it earlier on the show about the younger guys and needing more consistency from them. And I thought Brandon Pajemski had a really nice bounce back game in Chicago. Of course,
yes,
he's from nearby Milwaukee. Steve Kerr had recently said pods need to kind of play the right way to get more minutes. He responded well, 21 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals. His 3-point shot is up into the high 30s, low 40s. Now I think he got it up to 39% going into that Chicago game. And Saint, to me, the Warriors need this kind of pause to be successful. You mentioned the names. They need pause. They need Moody. They need Kuminga to be consistently good to get to 50 wins and top 6 seed. Because as we've seen, you're not going to have Al Horford for every game. You're not having Stephen Curry. Steph is going to be back, it looks like, on Friday, but there are probably going to be a couple more games he misses. Draymond's been missing games. Jimmy, that just goes with the territory of having guys 35-plus on your team. So you need the 23-year-olds and the 24-year-olds to pick up the slack when they're out.
You know, there were a lot of, you know, talk about Pajemski and the way he was playing and holding the ball and maybe trying to do a little bit too much. And I thought he played within the system. I thought he moved the ball, and I thought he moved without the ball. He was the recipient of penetration to the paint and kickouts, back to playing really good defense. His game's not complicated to me, and if he just stays within there. I think one of the keys is that his mom and dad were probably there, and they brought some Usinger's bratwurst down from Milwaukee, and he had those, and I'm going to tell you, I like ordering those. They give you a little pep, a little zip. They got a lot of good ingredients in them. And so anyway, I'm convinced that the Usingers were a big key for Pajemski's rise.
It's all about the bratwurst. Let's head out to the phone lines again. If you want to hit us up, 888-957-9570. Let's head out to Gene in Oakland. What's going on, Gene?
Hey, fellas. Happy holidays.
Hi, Gene.
Mr. Saint-Gene. Yes, this is Mr. Saint-Ange. Bonsoir, mon ami. I don't know if you remember me. We're from the Boston area together. You know, you're a couple
that's
of years
right,
younger than me.
That's right, I remember you.
But, twice my size. But anyway,
happy holidays.
I grew up with the Celtics. Happy holidays
that's
to you.
That's right.
So, the question I have is, if what we saw in the last three games is a harbinger of what's to come, let's hope it is, meaning if the bench, particularly the young guys, are starting to really gel, start to play the way they are, how do you feel about taking the big three, and playing them less, you know, saving them for the end of the season? Because, I mean, particularly in Curry's case, we've seen over the last three seasons how he slowed down at the end of the season. Now, last year was a kind of an anomaly. I guess he got jacked up when Jimmy showed up. But generally speaking, he's going to be 38 years old. The other guy's going to be, what, 36? I just feel like I don't know that I want to push these guys more than, like, you know, even 20 to 25 minutes if if everyone else is really picking up the slack the way they did the last three games. How do you feel about that?
That's a very fair point, and I should note that Steve, going into the season, likes to play those big three 32 to 33 minutes. That's what he's really comfortable with. So we're talking 5 or 6 minutes. So that's a minute and a half per quarter. And them sitting down some games, that's okay with me too. I'm selfish, though. I want them to get in the top six. But, Kev, I don't know if you want to get six, because then you got to play the team that's on TV that I'm looking at. Am I correct?
No, Oklahoma City would get the 8 seed.
They'd get the 8th. All right, so 6 is okay. So, you play 3. All right.
Yeah,
so you play 3. But that's a good thing. And, you know, this fellow's a great fan, and I've enjoyed him over the years. And we talked a little French, because I'm a French-Canadian from roots, and we talk about the old Celtic days. And the Warriors have that kind of depth that the Celtics used to have, that you could do those kind of things, that you see that you're taking care of business and you're really cognizant of trying to keep those minutes down. So I'm good with that. Now, can they do it? We'll see. I would rather see them playing those low minutes than having to miss a lot of games.
Yeah, that's for sure. You want those guys available as much as possible. Maybe if the Warriors were like, I don't know, 18-7, I guess that'd be, if they had like 5 more wins, maybe you could kind of play around with some more rest days or that sure. kind of thing. But at 13-12, you don't exactly have a ton of leeway. Let's head out to the phone lines again. TK in Napa wants to talk about size for Golden State. What's going on, TK?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well,
TK.
How are
you?
I'm doing good, thanks. Yeah, just I mean, probably beating a dead horse here, but and I know that we've talked about this before, but just the Warriors' kind of lack of big man presence. Of course, they get Al Horford in the offseason. He's going to play, you know, half to two-thirds of the games this year. But is there a move that they can make, you know, whether that's packaging JK, somebody else, to go after a big man? I think, you know, when we're talking about OKC, we're talking about Houston, they have reliable big men. And I'm sure Draymond would love some relief of having to guard a true big man. What do you guys think?
Well, we've been talking about that for years. And we had Bogut and West and those guys in the old days. And your thoughts about how many games Horford would play are kind of consistent with the franchise is thinking about. And maybe you're hoping that Post and Davis would develop a little bit more. Are there bigs out there? Well, the rumor of the week was that the Warriors were going to get Davis from Dallas. There was the 6 teams up on the board. And my friend Bobby Marks, who I worked with the Nets years ago,
yeah,
they did a breakdown of what each team could offer. And at the end of the day, the deal was that one. Now, that might have been for Adekunpo, but I'm sure you can do the same deal for Davis.
That would be interesting.
Man, that's stirring up the pot, Kev.
Yeah. Anthony Davis, he's come back and he's been really good for the Dallas Mavericks since coming back from injury. I mean, to no surprise to anyone, when he's healthy, he's what, top 10, 12 player in the NBA?
Yeah. Right on. Yeah.
So, he's special. I mean,
That's the dilemma they have. You know, everybody's got their own situations to deal with. Things we've talked about here, and you're looking at the point guard at Minnesota. You're talking about what's going to happen there. We're talking about with Dallas. That's tough to be patient with. That really is. As you said, Davis is a great, great player when he's healthy. And, you know, the rookie's just as good as you thought he was going to be. But now you're waiting on Irving to come back. And, you know what, Kev? I don't know how you feel. These guys rushing to come back with these Achilles, I think they got to take at least 9 months. It used to be in the old days, it was a year. And when I look at Tatum and him, and I don't know about Halliburton, how he's doing, but I think that's why there's a paranoia when a guy like Towns this week had a sore left calf. Well, what are they thinking about right away? Uh-oh, that could be an Achilles. So you've got a lot of people being really cautious with that that part of the body.
Yeah, I mean, ever since Kevin Durant's calf injury in the second round against the Rockets in 2019, you always worry about what a calf injury could lead to. I mean, you were mentioning the Mavericks. Derek Lively now has to undergo season-ending foot surgery.
Yeah, so, he's out for the year.
He's out for the year. He barely got a chance to play this season, so that's really unfortunate. Thank you for the call, TK. Definitely an interesting thing to think about there. Yeah, because I know a lot of Warriors fans have been desiring a big man for sure. Al Horford not being available for every game certainly doesn't help that thing. And I mean, he said in an article written by Nick Friedell last week in The Athletic, like, he has not had the start to the season that he has wanted. Now there's plenty of season left, and his important minutes come in the postseason at the end of the season. And there's still, he shows it defensively. He still brings a very nice presence to this team. But certainly things to consider there. So thank you for the call, TK. One more note on that Chicago game, and it's one that has certainly had a sports talk abuzz here on 95.7 The Game. Jonathan Kuminga getting the DNP CD. Did not shoot it well against Cleveland the game before. Now, after the game against Chicago, he said the right things. This is what Steve Kerr had to tell to Willard and Dibbs about Kuminga needing to be more consistent. Then Gary, we'll get your response.
He's obviously a guy with a lot of ambition, which I love. He wants to be a star. He's got the ability that, you know, that gives him that hope and gives us that hope. But there has to be a, you know, consistent level of play in order to achieve that. And, you know, you've seen Jimmy really take him under his wing this year. And I love that what the veteran players have done, Draymond and Steph. And, you know, they're all really fighting for him in his corner. So the potential is there. But it's there has to be a level of consistency, especially at this level. I mean, we're talking about the best basketball league in the world, and so the consistency has to be there for us. You know, if it's not there, then it makes it much more difficult for me to give him consistent minutes and give him starts. So that's what we're asking for, is a more consistent level of production.
You know, I find it interesting when we talk about the talks between head coaches and players. And I told you the old saying from Casey Jones. He said when he took over from Tommy Heinsohn, he said, the biggest move of my life was moving 18 inches from that second seat to the first seat, because that guy controls the minutes. All the players love the assistant coaches. They're a kumbaya. Yeah. No, come on, baby, you can do it. But controlling the minutes. And that, to me, was a very honest answer. And this young guy, I hope his knee's okay. I don't know what the story is there. We don't have a lot of information on that. And, you know, missed games before. And there's no debate. This guy's a tremendous athlete. And this team, when I look at the West, might put as much an emphasis on the mental side as any team in the league. It's not that easy to understand how to move the ball and move people. You say, well, that's pretty darn simple. Well, what are you going to do when you give it up? And how long are you going to hold it? And then where am I going after I give it up? And it looks, because these guys are so smart, it looks like they're freelancing out there, but there's a purpose and intent to what they're doing. They may cut to the basket. If I cut really hard to the basket, I may open up the shot for you. And with that said, I liked what he had to say. I hope Jonathan bounces back Friday here. He's had a couple days rest. And, you know, nobody is going to stay on the street that Steph Curry's on. Nobody.
Yeah.
That's it.
Nobody.
Okay. And your other two key guys have injury issues. And then after that, we've had these other young guys who've had inconsistencies too. You know, it's how you get up after how you've been knocked down. And
Yes.
This guy can do it. I really believe it, and I've said it all along. I think he can be the X factor. If he comes out and gets rolling here, boy, that is a big – if he had, say, for example, if he and Melton play well, and I thought Melton played well those last two games on the trip.
Sure.
Boy, that adds a special dimension to this team. And right now, heck, how many teams are playing Santos and Spencer kind of guys? Not many.
Yeah.
They're not many. So these guys have gotten opportunities because the coach is searching. Show me. Tell me how many minutes to play you. You tell me. Yeah. I don't have to tell you. And with that said, we've got a couple days more for them to get feeling good. And I'm pulling for Jonathan. I hope he comes back and really has a really great run here.
Yeah, I'm really pulling for Jonathan, too. Really good guy. I've always enjoyed my interactions with him. And like you said, we can all see it. He has it in him. There's no doubt about that. You see it in spurts. You see it in long stretches. And then, like, an injury would happen and that would kind of derail things for him, unfortunately. But I just go back to that Christmas Day, like, kind of the first game he really, really popped out with, like, whoa. Christmas Day game, I think it was Christmas of 2022 against the Boston Celtics at home when he just shut down Jason Tatum in the second half. Like, he can do this. Like, there's no doubt about it. And he's had plenty of other examples since then. Obviously, that was 3 years ago. But, yeah, Kuminga definitely pulling for him to get back into the lineup and show what he can really do out there. You mentioned Gui Santos, 14 points in Cleveland. He was huge in that game. Big reason why Kuminga didn't play against Chicago because they wanted to get more Gui Santos minutes. And this is a guy that just whenever he gets the opportunity, he might go games in a row without playing. But when he gets out there, he makes something happen.
Kev, how about that spin move he made?
Oh,
under
yeah.
Under the hoop there?
Yeah. Yeah, was that against Philadelphia? I'm trying to remember the yeah. Yeah, that
and
was
saying,
amazing.
Oh, wait a minute. That might have been Dr. J under there. I mean, that was crazy.
The thing about Gui Santos is the last couple of seasons, he's made his hay on the Warriors for being like this ultimate hustle guy, just like flying all over the court.
For those guys.
But he's got a lot of panache to his game. He's got a lot of flair. His very first summer league game in 2022, like I see a guy drafted from out of this country getting drafted 55th overall. My thought is he's going to be overseas for a couple of years at least. That first summer league game, I'm like, whoa, there's something there. He's probably going to be in Santa Cruz this year. Forget this stashing him overseas. He needs to be in the organization. And that's exactly what they did. They stashed him in the G League. Like, he can, he's got that behind the back, that spin move that you saw that I got some swag about me. He's got all that.
I like a guy who likes to smile a lot. And then in the next breath, he's going to knock your head off if you're not ready. And I love that about him. You know, he's ready to go with anybody. And that's a great quality about him. It's great.
So some roster moves were made by the Warriors this week. Do want to get into this a little bit. It more affects Santa Cruz, but it could certainly affect Golden State because they signed Malachi Leones to a two-way contract. They waived Alex Toohey. Alex, he just couldn't get himself right, trying to bounce back from an early injury in summer league. And we saw it in Santa Cruz. His last game he played, he was hobbling up and down the court. You just felt for the guy because he was trying to give it a go. He was trying to prove his worth, but he was not close to 100%. So we wish him the best of health going forward. But Malachi Leones, who is this guy? He's been in the Thunder system the last 2 years. He was briefly on a two-way contract last year with the Thunder. And he is friends with Quentin Post. They are good buddies back from the Netherlands. Yep, high IQ guy, very skilled. And there's kind of a Netherlands hoops renaissance happening. There were four guys in the 2024 draft class from the Netherlands, Jesse Edwards, along with Tristan Ennerunu, who I think is going to be in the NBA this year. I really like this Tristan Ennerunu guy. Malachi Lyons, and of course, Quinton Post. Post was the only one who got drafted, but those other guys were considered like top 100-ish draft prospects. And it got me thinking, I'm looking at the list of guys from the Netherlands who have ever played in the NBA. There are 9 guys on this list. 4 of them have played for Golden State. Dan Gadzeric, you might remember him, of course, from UCLA. Of course, there's Quinton Post and Malachi Lyons. And then a guy played 6 games for the Warriors, Gert Hamink. I might not be saying that correctly, but he has 8 games of NBA experience. It was in the 90s. You were with Sacramento at the time.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not sure if you remember that one. but yeah, like, now the both active Netherlands players in the NBA are with the Warriors, and I like this Malachi Lyons guy.
That's really cool, and you know what? It just goes to show you how the game is so international now. That's why I don't know. Somebody was saying about guys, in playing the All-Star game, the United States against the European or guys from out of the country. I like that. And then somebody else had the suggestion last week that was to play at the end of the year. I don't know when they said to play it. It was a thought that I thought had merit. Okay. Did you read that, Kev?
I did not read that one, actually.
Yeah, so, I forget who it was. Maybe forget who it was. But anyway, I want to see the All-Star game come back to being kind of competitive. And I got to tell you, I got an opportunity to coach in a couple of those, and I loved taking my daughter Emily and my son Greg and MJ. We, you know, you could just stay home if you wanted. We went all the time, and it was great. Just great memories. And for the players to get to play and have their families come, wow, it's special.
College basketball doubleheader USF Legacy returns to Chase Center on December 17th. The USF women's team faces Sac State at 4 p.m. Then the men's team takes on Loyola Chicago at 7 p.m. The tickets available now at chasecenter.com. We will take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show by taking a look ahead to the Timberwolves and Trailblazers, next 2 teams on the ledger for the Warriors here on 95.7 The Game.
After some heated debate.
Are you suggesting coconuts migrate? Not at all. They could be carried. A swallow carrying a coconut?
The Warriors Roundtable is back on 95.7 The Game.
Let's take a look at our upcoming broadcast here on 95.7 The Game, presented by Ticketmaster. The Warriors are home to take on the Minnesota Timberwolves at 7 p.m. on Friday, December 12th, 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time with Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert on the call. Then their other kind of a NBA Cup makeup game, if you will, is in Portland Sunday, December 14th, 5:30 on the air with Tim Roy, tipping at 6. Then they stay on the road to take on the Phoenix Suns Thursday, December 18th, 6 p.m., 5:30 on the air. Back home to take on the Suns Saturday, December 20th. That is Native American Heritage Night, presented by Cache Creek Casino Resort, 5 p.m. airtime, 5:30 tip time. And then before Christmas, December 22nd, taking on the Orlando Magic, who will be in Las Vegas for the NBA Cup semis against the New York Knicks. That game, 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time, with Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert on the call right here on 95.7 The Game. So talking about the Minnesota Timberwolves now, the next team up here, Saint. The Timberwolves 15-9. They had been playing really well before that loss to Phoenix, a really impressive Phoenix win, 108-105 on Wednesday. Anthony Edwards, of course, the highlight here, 5 40-point games this season, dropped 40 on the Suns. This is a team that kind of they've struggled out of the gates each of the last couple of years. Yeah. Obviously, it didn't derail them last year. They went to the Western Conference Finals. But then they were 10-8 before this 5-game win streak that just got snapped.
Yeah, they couldn't get their feet on the ground. They were kind of spinning around, not knowing what each other's roles were. I find it interesting, you know, because Gobert's a guy that you really like him or you don't feel that good about him. He's only a point or two away from being suspended. And I found that really interesting. You know, I find because of the lack of a point guard, Kev, they're going through Randall a lot at the elbow. And his assist numbers are way up. And you've already, you know, talked about our athletic wonder there in Edwards. The key for them, I think, is DiVincenzo taking care of that backcourt spot. And, Kev, what's the small forward's name that is such a good defender that he's been scoring better?
Jaden McDaniels?
McDaniel. I'm a big, big fan of his. And last game, I think he had 2 points. I think he's a key. He's got to be like your third scorer. But, you know, he's really grown on me. He's a heck of an athlete, like 6'8 or so, and can really, really defend multiple positions very easily and gets up and down the floor. And, you know, they know how to win. They're that's a good team.
Yeah, they are a good team, and they have consistently made deep runs into the very tough Western Conference playoffs each of the last 2 years. Of course, the Warriors would like to think that it wouldn't have been as deep last year if Steph did not get hurt in game one of that series. So Minnesota on Friday, you move on to Portland on Sunday. And quite honestly, Gary, the Dubs owe the Blazers. They're 0-2 against Portland. The first loss was very understandable. Back end of first back-to-back of the season. Steve Kerr later said, you know what, we probably shouldn't have tried to play our vets in that game. But, you know, they were so juiced after the win over Denver. The home loss, very frustrating. That just happened to start this previous five-game homestand.
Yeah, you know, you and I have looked back and talked about some games that, you know, you got to take care of business. And there were a couple of those on the road as well within the last month. But, you know, that team there, they got a lot of pieces out when you think about it.
Yes.
You know, they don't even have Henderson, the young point guard. And obviously our man Dame Dollar and somebody else too. And, you know, they've done a pretty good job. They've hit a little rut here in the last 10 days or so. But I'll tell you one thing, they play hard. And
they
do a good job. And, you know, that big center from I think was he from Connecticut?
Donovan Clingan.
I think definitely you could, and I might be able to beat him in a race down the court. and I look at their team, and I give a lot of that. I think the sum is better than the parts. I think they've done a good job working as a team and gotten some wins, and they've earned respect.
Yeah, no, they have. And Donovan Clingan was a big reason why the Warriors lost that game at Chase Center with his offensive rebound and his rim finishing, especially in the first half of that game. Yeah, Drew Holiday's also been out. Matisse Thybulle's been out.
So
they've had a lot of injured guys. But one guy who's been healthy and is playing like an all-star, Denny Avdia. And if you listen to people around the league, like the Hoop Collective podcast, Bill Simmons, they'll tell you, Denny Avdia is going to be playing at the Intuit Dome in February, the home of the Clippers, where the All-Star game is being held.
Yeah, he's that was a great acquisition. Did they get him from Washington or Memphis?
They got him from the Wizards. Yep.
Yeah, and that's a steal. That guy, you know what? He's another one of those guys, you're not going to speed him up. He plays at his pace. He has the ability to get into the paint and finish. He knows when the open shot is there. He's grown on me. He's a quality wing player.
Yeah, he really, really is. I really liked him. And he was fine in Washington, but he has gone up a level really since the start of the end of last season. I mean, he's been amazing. So to me, Gary, this is where the Warriors need to start separating from 500. Like you and I always talk about, what's the mark of a good season? 50 wins, right? That means 18 games above 500 and winning just about 60% of your games. Now that the schedules is lightened up, you've gotten a good chunk of back-to-backs done. You just came off a 3-game in 4-day stretch. You don't have another game until Friday. You have another 3 days between games from Portland to Phoenix.
That's special.
This is where you have to take advantage. You had a chance on a previous 5-game homestand to separate. went 2-3. That Portland loss really kind of irks you. You had a real chance to beat Houston, couldn't hold on there. Played Oklahoma City tough, but you did about all you could expect in that one. This is where you got to start winning games, Saint. I think this is where you don't want to be, like, after 51 games when they made the Jimmy Butler trade, they were 25-26 and had to just go all out to get to the 7 seed. You don't want to be 25-26 after 51 games this year.
No, and that's a big key. And here's a positive note. Kev, you're on top of this. I think if they're not the top, they're within the top three of road games played in the whole league. And, boy, that's a big, big plus. You brought out a great point about back-to-backs. That's key, and then the number of road games. And to have this time, this separation time here to get some rest, get healthy, tune up some of your stuff that you want to do on both ends of the floor, this is kind of like a mini all-star break. It's a nice thing for them.
Yeah, I just checked it. Nobody has played more than 15 road games. The teams that have played 15 road games in the NBA, the Warriors, the Blazers, and the Hawks. So there you go. God. No one's played more road games than them. So this is going to get home heavy, especially once the calendar gets past December. Then you really start to rack up some home games, and the schedule will even itself out. Got a couple of minutes left here. I'm curious, as a Chicopee, Massachusetts guy, what do you think of the Boston Celtics moving up to third in the Eastern Conference at 15-9, having won 5 straight after a very disappointing home loss to the Brooklyn Nets? Jaylen Brown's been awesome. Derek White, Peyton Pritchard picking up the pace. And Jason Tatum's been adamant, and you kind of talked to this about earlier about guys returning too early from injury. Jason Tatum's been adamant about being able to return this season to the Celtics. And if they do get Jason Tatum back, I mean, looking at what's happened in the Eastern Conference, why not Boston in the finals?
I'm shocked, to tell you the truth. And, Pritchard had a tough time when he was asked to move into the starting lineup and have the ball that much. That was hard for him. And they made a pretty nice move playing this kid Walsh. Is that his name?
Jordan Walsh, second round pick. Yeah, Link Academy kid.
He is? Well, I tell you what,
he's Link Academy, Arkansas. He got up and,
I thought so. Must told me about him, and that kid gets up in your grill. He competes every single night, and he's done all right offensively. So him having the ball a little bit like a point forward kind of thing has helped. White was really kind of in a slump. He got going. Their center is from Portugal, I think.
Namias Keita,
name. Yes, and Hauser coming off the bench, and they've surprised me. Now, should I think, well, geez, that tells you that maybe the East is not that good because there's 3 or 4 teams in front of them? Well, so be it. But I give them a lot of credit. They play unconventional basketball. They still, even without Tatum, they're very happy to shoot 53s a game. And Brown has really taken the challenge. Cal guy, bright guy, and I just like what he's done. I'm really happy for the guy. And can they keep this going? Yeah, I think so. Detroit came down a little bit. New York's leveling off, and the East is kind of interesting. There's some teams that are like, look what's going on with Atlanta. Young's supposed to be the guy. Their record is so much better without him, it's a joke. And you look around the rest, and they got a lot of teams down at the bottom. They're going to stay there. The Nets and Washington are shaking hands. They got an agreement to stay down there. but the rest of the teams, I like Miami's done a good job. You talked about Orlando coming in. They've lost Wagner now with a bad high ankle sprain.
Yeah.
And, Kev, one of the best moves, because it was small market. You and I talked about this. I love Bane. And I thought that was a great, great trade for Orlando. They gave up a lot. They gave up a lot. But, he's a heck of a player. So, I check the Celtics scores, but I'm a little more loyal to the good old Warriors and that team. What's the name of the team in L.A. that's coming on TV here now pretty soon? The Lakers.
The Greg St. Jean led Los Angeles Lakers, of course. Yeah, they got the Spurs coming up in the final NBA Cup quarterfinal. Yeah, that'll do it for us. Yeah, no Wemby. So yeah, Lakers and Spurs should be a fun game on Amazon Prime. That'll do it for us. Big thank you to Marika Clado and RC Davis on the Warriors side of things. Mark Granny for holding things down behind the glass. For Gary St. Jean, I'm Kevin Dana saying happy 39th to me, and we'll talk to you next week.
Whoa!
Thank you for joining the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Step, left wing, three, cha-ching! 58-41, Darvin Ham says, I want to take a timeout, because this one is over.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
I'd say that was a pretty successful broadcast.